Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back to another episode of the Dr. Supercoach podcast. I am JB and joined this week by the 18th best Supercoach player in the world for season 2021 thus far, Chizo. How are the nerves, mate?
Very nervous, JB. I'm just stammering here just a little bit. Panicking, I've got to say, just a fraction. I've got to say that when I saw that Darcy actually did take the field on Sunday, I celebrated like that Australian swimming coach. If anyone's seen that doing the rounds on Twitter, that's basically
Titmus coach.
Yep. When they got the gold, so channeling my inner Aussie swim coach. But yeah, 4 weeks to go. It's going to be a long 4 weeks. I think I technically lost ground on the top 10, but I went from 23rd to 18th with a 25.76, so definitely not disappointed with that. JB, how'd you go?
Not as well. My team's much, much worse than yours, so that's what happens. But I'm holding on to a hope that I can finish in the top 1K. I've had awful luck all year. Buddy Franklin going out this week is also very painful because I traded him in out of necessity, so that's going to be fun.
That sucks, man.
Hopefully one of Ginnivan or Brockman survive getting dropped, otherwise it's just a straight donut. So
we'll call him Ginny Van for the rest of my life because it just makes the memes better.
I had Ginnivan all week on the commentary, just so you know.
Nah, it's Ginny Weasley Van.
Okay, cool. So I'm in a lot of strife, but it's okay because next year is going to be the year, right? It's not often I get to interview a top 20 Supercoach player for the season, actually. So, so this is going to be fun for me. This is uncharted territory. But before that, I'm going to jump into some Cancer Council donations. I'm reading them out for I think the first time ever. So I just want to pat myself on the back there. I'm moving up in the Supercoach podcasting world. First of all, we got GP donating reverse all changes on Thursday night. Didn't look at Supercoach all Friday because I didn't need to do anything until Sunday. Woke up Saturday to see Grundy, Captain Bianco on field for Whitfield. And the biggest enemy in our Supercoach seasons are ourselves, not any of the AFL players. So GP has forgot to re-optimize his team post reversal, so that's the first time I've seen the optimization button actually needed to be used and not used. So that's bad by GP. Smitty donating for dumb things, made the decision midweek to tank in order to get a more favorable cash league finals matchup for the next week. I benched Bontempelli, McRae, Gorn, Dangerfield, put the C on Reeves, and it turns out I was looking at the live ladder rather than the normal ladder. And in reality, had no chance of forcing a favorable league matchup. Instead of scoring 24.93, I scored 20.51. Plummeted in rank in what's been my best year ever in Supercoach. I can't get my head around any of this, Smitty, but seemed like a bad call in foresight and hindsight. So appreciate the donation there. Whitey donates for getting knocked out by Chiesa in the cup, and an incredibly generous donation as well, Whitey.
Thanks,
above and beyond there by you, mate. So I really appreciate that one. Joshua Bell donates $2 for every player that scored below 89 this week. That includes Short, May, Walsh, Zeret, Jelly, Taranto, Grundy, Zorko, Zeeble, Bolton, DeGoey, Brockman, brackets forgot to loophole Madden 66. Throw in some extra for having to keep Bramble on the bench with his 83. His team has stunk it up, currently living in Spain without the S for the rest of the Supercoach season. So that's not good, Joshua Bell, but I appreciate the donation nonetheless. And then Webdog finally donating for a donut. I'll be here weekly unless CCJ somehow gets back into the side. Perfect timing for my team to be in the mud just after Rivalry League is wrapped up. Team Pistol 2021 champions with a gold medal emoji. Very fitting for the Olympic Games that we are experiencing at the moment as well. So thank you for your donation as well, Webdog. And I do expect to see you here every week because I don't expect to see CCJ in the team any week. So that's some generous donations from our followers. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, everyone. We don't have any Patreon sign-ups this week, but just a few numbers. 57 of the top 200, which is ridiculous. Still 6 of the top 10. Chiesa into the top 10 of Slack, which I think is the most important move that I've made all season, JB. But I'm still second in Queensland because we've got a false idol putting down as living in Queensland and living elsewhere, I hear. So technically, I'm still thinking that I'm first. We've also got the Doc Supercoach Cup still going. 16 teams remain. We're up to the quarterfinals. Chiesa still amongst it. That's what I'm happy to report. But I did have some stats based on the brackets that we've got. Of 5 of the remaining 16 teams in the cup are inside the top 100, and only 4 outside of the top 1K, 0 outside of the top 2K. So it's going to be an incredibly difficult bracket. And the top half of the bracket has an average rank of 529th, and the bottom bracket an average rank of 446th. Not that that means anything, but just showing just how difficult it is to try and progress through the cup this year, JB. So that's going to be some worthy prizes for those that make it into the finals. Hopefully, your boy Chiesa wouldn't like to mind some of my own merch that I'm not allowed to get my hands on. And the only other thing this week, JB, is Tex had a day out. You been able to see how many goals he kicked on the weekend?
He did have a good game, actually. 4 goals, I think, for Texan.
And how many behinds did he have?
None, by my account.
So if you were saying that to someone, what score would you say he kicked for the game?
Like 4 goals, 0? Or
4.0?
It's being weird.
It's a stretch. 4.0. It's a stretch. Dr. Supercoach, we'd happy to announce that Manscaped is continuing to sponsor the podcast, and they have just released the Lawnmower 4.0, JB. It is the brand new Lawnmower 4.0. You already know that 2 million men worldwide trust Manscaped, including the podcasters. And, you know, as everything's kind of starting, I know, JB, you're coming out of lockout soon. Wouldn't it be nice to be primed and ready and have those Sherrins just ready to go as you come back out into the world? The Performance Package 4.0 from Manscaped is here to get you ready. You've got the Lawnmower 4.0, the Weed Whacker Ear and Nose Hair Trimmer, the Crop Preserver Deodorant, Crop Reviver Toner, as well as 2 free gifts that come in the Performance Package. You've got the Boxer Briefs and the Shed Travel Bag. The 4th generation trimmer still has the cutting edge ceramic blade that's been upgraded, and it reduces grooming accidents thanks to their skin safe technology. Now, JB, you also have the ability to turn off and turn on the LED light for a more of a precise shave, you should say. And this thing will leave you smoother than Michael Phelps going through the pool. That's absolutely right. And, after winning gold and going for gold, you should bathe in liquid gold with the Crop Preserver and Ball Reviver Toner. They're the key for feeling victorious this year, JB. Thanks to Manscaped for sponsoring the podcast. If you do want to pick up some great Performance Package 4.0 gear, you can use code DRSC for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. JB, thanks for Manscaped.
Can I just say the 4.0 was just plugged via a long drawn bow with that Taylor Walker reference there.
I had to draw it out.
yeah, look.
It was a stretch.
It was a stretch. Now, speaking of stretch, we're going to have to stretch the limited content we have this week to discuss onto a podcast.
You're so proud of yourself right now.
Yes, I am. We're going to start with the omissions this coming week of Buddy Franklin and Taron Thomas. Buddy has obviously received a one-week suspension for his elbow to Luke Ryan's head, and Taron Thomas a one-week rest, we should say, I guess, for the concussion that was late to onset. So he is missing this week as well. So we have heard those two players, I guess. I mean, if we're discussing one-week little injuries, then I suppose we're still traveling okay as a Supercoach community. But for players that don't have any cover, players that are still ranked highly enough to care about getting a zero, or players that are potentially facing elimination in their league matchup, should they look at using, I'll start by saying, their final trade on these players to stay competitive or stay in their leagues?
It's a really good question. I would personally still hold that last trade, because we've got three weeks after this where we should see, you know, we're worried about Buddy getting a rest. We'll cover that off first. He's not going to get that rest now. You know, at least it's not injury related that he's having a week off towards the back end of the year. And Taron Thomas, just a delayed onset concussion, he's going to be right to go for the week after. So if you're asking me, you know, there's the potential you use that trade on someone like a Buddy this week and cover that 1 week, only for an injury to have to happen somewhere else if you don't have cover as well, and suddenly you've got 3 weeks of zero. So I think the over under is probably another week in advance. So if we're faced with this situation maybe next week, I think my point of view would change. But I think we're still got a month to go this year, and we've seen previous years what happens in round 23. It just kind of goes sideways. Everyone gets rested, particularly those teams at the top. I just feel like that last trade is just going to be absolutely key. JB, what are your thoughts?
No, I do agree. I would try and hold it under any circumstance. I would try to hold that last trade. I unfortunately don't have another trade left, and I wish I did, because I'm watching behind the couch every single game that comes on. However, there are a couple of instances in which I would burn the trade in this scenario. So first of all, if I had something high stakes in front of me and I could see the matchup potentially that I was going to lose with or without cover, obviously do your research. You could even leave the Buddy trade until what looks like late Saturday. I think these fixtures are 100% confirmed now, but late Saturday, the Sydney game locks out. If we can leave that as long as possible and potentially do a late trade to someone else, we'll discuss options in a second, to avoid elimination in your Supercoach Cash League if you're in the lower part of the top eight bracket, or potentially, Chizo, someone who's trying to hold on for the Dr. Supercoach Cup or the LMS competition that are still active. If I had one of those in my scope this week and I knew I was going to lose without making this final trade, I personally, if I was prioritizing those competitions above my ranking, would throw the ball at the stumps and just try to hold on for another week and hope that the luck falls my way.
Oh, JB, would you agree with that? Cricket reference. I'm down for that. Any cricket references you want to throw in is great. At the stumps, maybe. I tend to agree. If you've got ulterior motives other than rank, other than trying to preserve the highest rank you possibly have, then by all means use that trade. If you're in a family league or a cash league and you really need to make finals, or you're really looking for that double chance, that's got to be a personal call about your team whether you want to use it. I think where I'm coming from in terms of the 1 week donut versus potentially multiple week donut is just more of a rank kind of thing, in terms of what's worth risking. Is it worth risking potentially having 3 weeks of donuts to cover one? Is sort of where I'm coming from. And, you know, obviously you can cross your fingers and just hope that nothing else goes wrong. But where, you know, where has that put us in this, you know, sort of season? So I think with both Taron Thomas and Franklin, if you are copying a donut from them, I'd still be holding. I mean, you know, unless you have something outside of that. But JB, if there's you're in the boat of trying to trade, we should probably go through some potential options.
Yeah, and just lastly, I would like to agree, if you are going for rank, I would rather cop the pain this week than if, for example, one of my players got injured this very week for the rest of the season, cop 3 weeks of further pain, which is exactly what you're saying. I just want to...
It determines on your cover too. Agree.
Yeah, even without cover, I think I would do that. I would expect 3 weeks of average cover to no cover to far outweigh the point loss that this 1 week would cop. And like I said, it might not happen. You might be really... really okay with making large risks in your side and just hoping you get no more injuries. That might be the type of play that you are. If you're highly ranked enough, I can understand that play on the trade. But me personally, I would be holding that and just in case something popped up for that those last 3 weeks, because the point loss over 3 weeks is obviously going to be greater than what you're going to lose this week. So, like you said, we will discuss the replacement options. Now, Taron Thomas is only $700 cheaper than Rowan Marshall, who should return this week nice and fresh. Are we seeing him as one of the better, if not the best, option?
Yeah, I think he's obviously going to be refreshed from it. We saw a nice little bit of form. The thing that was putting me off, let's say, Rowan Marshall as an upgrade target as we exited the buys, is we still had like a third of the season or over a third of the season for him to get through, and there was always the increased risk of him missing. I think with only 4 weeks to go, coming off a week where he's probably been pent up inside with not a whole lot to do, I can see 4 weeks being worth the risk. I think if you pick him up for only a 4 week period, a 1 month period, and he misses, that's just tough luck. Everyone's copping that kind of luck this year, and I think that's a risk I would be willing to take. Potentially, if it opens up some cover for your ruck line, if you're someone like me that is just, you know, my fingers are so sore from having them crossed for the majority of the weekend, hoping Darcy took the field. That's not a good feeling.
No, not at all. If you have a little bit more money, you're within range of the Bailey Dales and Tom Hawkins of the world. I'd say Tom Hawkins, especially in the form that he's in at the moment, is probably, if you can reach up to him from Buddy or Taron Thomas, the number one option in the forward line that isn't slightly budget like Rowan Marshall is.
Yeah, I don't mind it. Let me just check. Sorry, I'm just lost... Buddy's price. So is it $28,900? You'd have to have a little bit of cash lying around. I think anyone above Buddy's price is probably worth taking the punt on. I mean, you've got guys that are averaging 85 to 95 sort of in that range that you could be taking a punt on. There's not a whole lot of coaches that have 100K or 80K just sitting around looking to upgrade. So I guess that's the hard point for me, is like, what, in terms of trading these two players, for those that, I think there was 20% of the top 1,000 didn't trade Dusty last week. I don't know if that's because that correlates with people running out of trades, or they were just holding to see if there was someone else that presented themselves, the following week. So there's probably a few coaches in the position where they are looking for a forward and not a whole lot of cash that's lying around. JB, I do want to ask you this, because we did kind of pump up Jordan Ngoi's tyres on the weekend. I still think he played a similar role to what we've seen in weeks before. I didn't think it was too dissimilar. An 80-point return is probably not what people were really looking for after the last month that he's had. Is there any concerns there?
No, I think it's okay. He didn't play particularly well, even in that last quarter where he got a lot of the ball. He was turning it almost directly over. I think Port have a bit of a knack for holding opposition midfielders or dynamic mid-forwards to lower scores. I might just be talking absolute rubbish there, but from memory, a few players score poorly against Port Adelaide's midfield. And he just got unlucky. Collingwood got dominated when the ball went into Port's forward 50. A lot of them were just throwing it onto the boot and hitting a Port player in the chest. He had about 4 turnovers in a row and still got to a score of 80. So he obviously had a lot of the ball. You look at other forwards, Bailey Dale scored 72 this week, very popular option. Buddy only scored 70 before he became a non-option, obviously, this week. Even Shai Bolton, I always forget which one it is. I think it's Shai.
Yes.
Scored 42 this week. So I think if you had to go on the Friday for an 80, you're probably feeling a little bit hard done by it. But by the time the weekend ended, if that's his floor, then you're a very, very lucky, happy coach. So I still think he's the premier option, one of the premier options. I've already listed three or four options as the premier option, but I'm operating under the assumption that if you probably own five of these guys, and I've probably named three of the guys in your forward line already as premier options. So I'm trying to just keep naming players that are really good options, because people tend to have five of the top eight forwards already. So it's hard to just sort of say, get this guy no matter what, because he's probably highly owned. But yeah,
sure.
So I think to go is really, really good if you had the money to go there. If we're shopping a little bit in the cheaper range, let's say Buddy Franklin's price and under,
yeah,
we're not looking at good players for starters, or we're not looking at players that are in any form. I would not recommend going near Zach Butters. I would not recommend going near Isaac Heaney, despite him having a good couple of weeks. We obviously know he is injury prone, and he is prone to really, really, really poor scores as well. Shai Bolton's the one that I mentioned earlier with a score of 42 this week. Looked like he was turning a corner the week prior with a score of 107 against Brisbane. The only saving grace for him is that their run of Fremantle, North Melbourne, GWS and Hawthorn might be super promising. They just got dominated by Geelong. Not many of their players scored well. I think they only had one ton for the entire game. So despite having a good role, 70% or so CBAs, he did not score well. If that role sticks around for the next month, I could imagine the uptick towards 90-plus averaging is going to happen.
And this is something that we mention repeatedly about these young guys when they transition into full-time midfielders or a heavy CBA mid. We saw with Walsh on the weekend, 150 and then 190, and then backs it up with an okay kind of game. Like, he still had 30 touches or something like that, but just wasn't as impactful, didn't put on as much pressure as he had in the weeks previous. Maybe that's something to do with him still being only 21 and maturing and stuff like that. So with Shai Bolton, we're just going to see a little bit more variance. As you said, there's nothing to be concerned about in terms of his role. I still think that I enjoyed seeing the role that he had. They just got smashed. I think yep. Prestia's mentioned in the news to potentially be back this week as well, which is probably going to free him up a little bit, having another big body in and under mid, because Shai's not that type of player. He's certainly more on the outside and being more damaging with his disposal as opposed to shoveling it out in the Cunnington types and the Prestia types. So I see that as a positive for him. The thing is, with shopping at, say, 430 and below, which is Buddy's price, none of these guys are either in the best form of their life or one of the top options, in the forward line. So we are shopping in the outie aisle. This is kind of where we do need to kind of make an educated guess. And then if you've got a feeling about someone, just back yourself in and have a crack, because it's likely that when you compare Isaac Heaney, Shai Bolton, Zach Butters and these types, there may not be a whole lot of difference between them at the end of the year, depending on how they go. So I was interested to say that you put a line through Zach Butters straight away. Obviously, that was his first game back from another re-injury. Is the injury that is completely putting you off the table, or you weren't happy with his role? From a Port standpoint, where did that big cross through his name come from?
Yeah, a little bit of everything. And it's the same as when he came back the first time and got that re-injury. Despite having 25 odd in the first quarter, he had 39 up until about half time, and then in the third quarter stayed around that mark and then got injured. So he wasn't looking particularly good in that return game, let alone this return game, which is a full game for 51. His role isn't there. He's now more stay at home. Abrazio and Robbie Gray are out of the side, so we need someone to stay forward and be dangerous. It all coincides with him returning from the injury and just needing to be eased back a little bit. Don't get me wrong, you will see him in some CBAs. You will see him roam up the field a little bit as he did pre-injury, but it's not as much. I would hazard a guess as to how his split was pre-injury, and I would say he probably spent as much time outside the forward 50 as he did inside. Now I'd say that has considerably tipped towards the inside forward 50. So despite him going to be having some flashy moments, some 25 to 30 point quarters, I do not expect him to average more than 85 for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and the one thing it does is, you know, we like jumping on these guys as they're about to break out, and I think it's okay to say that you picked another one, JB, as one of these guys that, you know, if they weren't injured, would have put you so far ahead of the pack in the first 6 to 8 weeks. And I know a lot of the top coaches, particularly in Slack, did start Butter, so I'm still counting that as a good call by you. It really just kind of, coming into 2022, he's probably going to keep that half forward role, you know, particularly playing forward a little bit towards the back end of the year as they are kind of easing him back in. It just makes him a really nice looking selection for 2022. It's just disappointing that we're probably going to have a much higher ownership than what we started this season with and looked like getting the jump.
Yeah, and that has its pros and cons. I'm okay with starting a player that's 50% owned as someone who was an injury risk the year prior and is still young enough to be a scoring risk that year. So not that I'm trying to talk anyone out of it. I want everyone to start him. I think he's going to be an excellent pick next year. But having the 50% ownership with these obvious cons from this year carried forward does alleviate a lot of risk in the selection as well. So I think a lot of people are going to be able to select a risk-free, cheap Zach Butters next year. And hopefully we all have the same enjoyment in owning him in the first month as I did. So having said that, there's not a lot more selections.
I've got one more.
All right, go. Is it Dylan Moore?
I've got one more.
Can I just ask?
It was not going to be Dylan Moore, but it sounds like you want to talk about Dylan Moore.
I mean, in his last five games, he's gone 100 against GWS, 36 against Port, which admittedly is not great, 112 against Fremantle, 83 against Melbourne, 115 against Adelaide. He's just in quite a lot of form. He's a small forward type player. He's just in good form. So I thought that was the type of left field player that you were going to aim for.
Well,
but that's okay.
Not necessarily. I think the point I was going to make is, I think anyone below 400,000 is when you're getting into the real risk range where you're looking at, you know, there's Brett Bewley, Tom Lynch, Lincoln McCarthy. These kind of guys, there is absolutely no trust or expectation that you might get some good scores out of them. I think the only one under 400,000 potentially you could get still side bottom.
Oh, no, he said it.
He had a great role once Taylor Adams went off with his knee knock in the third quarter. Look, he's been certainly up and down this year. I was completely wrong about him this year. I thought that he'd be a safe 95, expected him to go around the 100 mark. He's not even been anything close to that this year. But, you know, this is what we're saying. We are shopping around the Addy mark. The Addy market, so there is some potential that you could get steel, but again, the kind of option that we're choosing between aren't that great. And he's probably going to get more time in the midfield, and the reason that I bring him up is another injury that people are suffering with is that Scott Pendlebury is potentially, I think he's confirmed out with for the remainder of the season with a fracture in his lower leg. So
broken by himself, by the way, not the leg. The news that he was going to be out for the season with
We need to see more of that.
Very rare. Just last year on the steel side bottom, averaging 86.6, so not far off of what you would think. It just feels like an average of 72.3 because he's been that bad in the last month. But
yeah,
you're right. Pendlebury and a always shaky Taylor Adams is going to keep things alive for him. He could just skirt by with an 85 plus, which is actually more than what we might expect from the other options that we've already named. I still think Shea is the premier option out of those guys that we've spoken about. It sounds like I had a bet with a friend to mention premier as much as I could on the podcast, but I swear that is not the case. It's just worked out that way. So we're going to go through, as you mentioned, Scott Pendlebury, his injury, how many players would have had him in their side. It's actually more than I expected. I think a lot of people got a little bit desperate for money there and jumped on. He's owned by 7.5% of the competition.
Yeah, wow.
He does desperately need to be traded out. And I think I'll let you mention the first guy that comes to mind because he does seem like an obvious pick if you've got a bit of cash there.
Well, our number one option last week was Cam Guthrie. He was actually scooting under the radar because he was actually so underpriced. No one was, everyone was kind of looking in the, you know, down to 500K range and wasn't really expecting to see any value under 500K. And then obviously he's popped out another 120. He's still going to be a really good option on the way home. He's got North this week. If they're going to put any attention into it, it's going to be a red hot danger. So he's probably just going to run free. If you've got, I think it's 40K between Pendles and Guthrie, I would do that. I think it's hard to expect anyone to have, you know, anything more than that sort of lying around. And the next best option is, I'm going to say best option, looking at those. God, how good has Dyson Heppel been this year? He's blown my expectations out of the water.
Very
Jared cool. Lyons at 556,700 is the next kind of quote-unquote best option that I would personally kind of be looking at with the potential of going 120. Everyone in between that is kind of a 100 to maybe 105, 110 if things go well range, and I'd rather be trying to pick someone that I can see some genuine upside from in the Cam Guthrie types. Do you kind of agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Jared Lyons, I think, is a safe ton. I think he's only sub ton four times this year. As I quickly fact check that, that is true.
Two times
this year.
Yeah, he's will be consistent. He had 30 touches on the weekend again and still only got a ton.
Yeah, he butchered it earlier. I think he had 10 touches for like 20 Supercoach points or something, so it didn't look great early. But an 81 against St Kilda, an 82 against GWS, those are his sub-tons. Besides that, uber consistent, uber reliable. So absolutely, 556K coming off of a recent couple of low tons and that 80 in recent times. So he's very underpriced. If we do have to shop underneath Cam Guthrie, I think we should just go through and just slowly rank a couple of these options as we go down. So we've got the likes of Ben Keys with a three-round average of 96, Boak with the same three-round average, and then a couple of young bucks, Bailey Smith and Hugh McCluggage with averages in the three-round mark of over 105. Both of those guys in big, good form. How do you rate those four options, I guess?
I think Hugh, personally for me, is probably my pick of the litter in those instances. Boak has really slowed down after the last few, you know, the opening month or two. And we've seen Wines completely take over that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Port Adelaide midfield, and I think that's something we're going to see continuing towards the back end of the year. So I'm kind of overlooking him. He's an absolute superstar. There's no reason he can't go big. We're just kind of trying to make educated guesses here. So I think Hugh with a season average in the three figures is probably the safer option. He's probably going to go that 105 mark. I think we can be reasonably confident in. Bailey Smith is an interesting one for me because we saw this sort of last year where he comes out and he has a three-round average of 140 and then averages 95, 90 for the year. And he just goes missing at times. He just doesn't, you know, it's going to be very difficult for him to be a permanent cog in the midfield for the Doggies. Potentially, I think Adam Treloar is not far away either. expected to return round 21 to 23. So hearing a little murmuring about Adam Treloar coming back soon as well, and Bailey Smith is obviously the one that's going to be impacted first, whereas Hugh McCluggage is not really missing out. There's no midfielders that are desperately going to come in and change his role within the team. In terms of the remaining kind of scores around that...
I'll just jump in quickly. So Bailey Smith, I do completely agree with. 0 tons between rounds 2 and 14. So I think that kind of says it all. His role with another, especially with Adam Treloar potentially introduced into that midfield as well, is super, super inconsistent or consistently bad, whichever you want to go with. Hugh McCluggage has shown the ability to turn up even with Lachie Neale back in the side. Most of that 100-plus average was without Neale. Between rounds 4 and 9, he had an average of around 120, where he just dominated. Then Neale returned, and he went back into the 70s, 80s, and 90s. But his last 2 weeks have looked a lot better, both with tons. They have a run of Hawthorn, Fremantle, Collingwood, and West Coast. So if he was ever going to go on a decent run of form, it was going to be now. So I do agree with that. And then as you were about to jump into the next bunch, it does get consistently worse from here. We're talking about Josh P. Kennedy coming off of a huge 154, good three-round average of 114. Adam Treloar, potentially, if he does actually return this very week. And then we're looking at Jacob Hopper with a 97 three-round average, 96 average for the season.
And then, not doing it for me.
Yeah, I mean, if you wanted to get creative, you could look elsewhere. I wouldn't touch Carl Amon without having a consistent ability to score points. It gets really, really sketchy after that, Chizo. I'm scrolling through looking for an option. And
mate, I'm going to hit you with some hard questions. We're going to filter by Scott Pendlebury's price. We're going to assume we've got no dollars in the bank, and we're going to go below Scott Pendlebury. This is going to be difficult because I'm going to let you go first, so you actually get a first pick from those priced below Scott Pendlebury. Draft style.
First pick. Okay. I think I'm going to go Tim Kelly.
Yeah, I like it.
Super low value with a 26 and a 46, both of which I hope were injury affected. The 26 definitely was. but he lost a lot of price. And then since then, he's gone 80, 115, 82, 114.
Yeah.
He's been inconsistent at West Coast in general, but Collingwood, Melbourne, Fremantle, Brisbane, he's got a 50-50 run on the way home. Melbourne actually do concede decent midfield opposition points. So I think with that, we can, I mean, hopefully see some form, but he would be my best pick from those guys.
I thought he was going to slip by. I genuinely thought you'd start at the top of the list and be like, oh, Brad Crouch. I agree.
Please no.
Tim Kelly was going to be... going to be my pick. The problem is a lot of these guys, you know, we're shopping in such a cheap aisle. The best, the use by date on these cans of tuna are not very, very far away. I might stick with his teammate in Andrew Gaff. Hasn't had a great year, but he's uber consistent because, you know, he just gets those cheapies on the outside. If you're really struggling, at least he's going to average you maybe 90 upwards of, you know, upside of 100, depending on how the Eagles come on, if they get some form on the back half. So I see a little bit of positive there as well for you, JB. Back to you.
I'm going to go with a homer, and that's Willem Drew.
See, that's who I thought you'd start with.
So since round 7, he has scores of 129, 107, 109, 122, 107, 117. He's got 6 scores below 100 there. 1 in the 90s, 2 in the 70s, 1 in the 60s, sorry, 3 in the 70s, 1 in the 60s, 1 in the 50s. I'm not going to lock him in for a 105 plus average, but he seems to be improving every single week. GWS, Adelaide, Carlton, and Western Bulldogs are their run home. I can imagine him getting at least 2 or 3 tons out of that run home, and then a sketchy Western Bulldogs there as well. So he's already played Adelaide this year for a ton. He's played Carlton for a not ton. He scored 41 that week. And hasn't played GWS or Western Bulldogs yet this year. Oh, sorry, he did play Western Bulldogs. That was a ton as well. So 50-50 run home, could get 2 or 3 tons in that run home, but likely to get a lower score in there as well, around the 70 mark.
He's just been under the packs. He's been the one of the main drivers in feeding the ball out to someone like Ollie Wines so he can be a little bit more impactful, whereas Wines was used as that inside bull for years and years.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it just plays into Drew's strength. I just see him as being, you know, this is the year he's kind of maturing and taking that spot that we in the midfield that we always knew he was going to. I think that's a really good thing for Port Adelaide and something that hopefully he's doing, you know, something similar on the way home. JB, I'm going to go with one that's really, really risky. This is like full out there. With my next pick, I'm going to go with Braden Gotarini.
That was the last guy I was going to say, so I'm not selecting any more after this because it gets really tragic after this. Yep. But
after that, you're taking a punt. This is the thing. Fiorini has always been a ball magnet, and I just feel like his use with the ball has been something that's cost him a position in the Gold Coast midfield for some time. I've liked what he's put forward since he's come into the team. So he's played round 4, 14, 16, 17, 18, 19, and he's got scores of 50, 88, 89, 107, and 139. He's just one of those guys that I just feel like has that ceiling. So he's had 41 disposals on the weekend. The week before, he had 32, and that's what we know him for. He's the kind of name... you know, that you just expect he's going to have that ceiling with the amount of ball that he does get. So I think if he holds his position on the way home, he is probably the one that has the potential to go 110, I want to say, if he's kind of hit fire in the last 2 weeks. But this is full out there, JB. This is sort of like if you've got two trades, let's say you've got Pendlebury and you've got, I don't know, Franklin, and you've got no cover and you're going to do two trades, the money you save from going down to Fiorini from Pendlebury might be just enough, depending what's in your bank, to get Buddy up to a more reputable forward. And that would be one of those scenarios that I might consider him. But you've got to know that shopping below this price is risky in and of itself. So it all depends on, do you go for that sort of ceiling, that high possession rate that Fiorini has? I think that's a question that comes down to how you want to play it personally, but that's definitely a high-risk, high-reward sort of play.
I like Fiorini. I think this is a good throw at the stumps, if you will, Chizzo.
Yeah, I love that.
And he could, if he does hold down a decent midfield role for the next 4 weeks, he could actually go... I'm going to say up to 110. He's good. He has good pedigree. He's a breakout contender. He's been a breakout contender for 3 years now. I hope he actually does string it together because he's got the talent. He just needs the opportunity now, I think. So hopefully for him, that time is now and he comes home with a wet sail. But obviously, we're not making any guarantees at this price range. You are buying what you are getting. So,
yeah.
I've got a couple more things to run through. Then we're going to end the podcast. We can't waffle on for too long here, Chizzo.
Yep.
I just want to float to you. If someone is running with a bad F6, for example, they've got a rookie on field like Waitman, or a bad M8 even, like Bramble, who's, by the way, not been that bad, and they have one trade in the bank, how would you recommend going about this situation? I think a few people are getting real itchy trigger fingers. Maybe they're losing rank. Maybe they've dropped a couple of league games in a row. We just might need to set them straight with what to do with that last trade and how to treat the situation.
Yeah, it's a very good point. I think if you've got Bramble at M8, there's no reason to panic. I think he's going to be a good 70-plus. I didn't mind it. I thought that Hardwick and Scrimshaw would have a bit more of an impact on him. Let's just have a double check.
You got like 82 this week.
Yeah, 82. So Hardwick and Scrimshaw both came back. I was worried that he was going to have the bottom fall out because he's not necessarily the number one kick-in taker with those two back. I didn't see it. I still see him... Every time you watch him, he just looks impressive, really like attacking hard on the ball, looking to get deep penetration with his kicks, and he makes good decisions. So I'm not necessarily panicking. The premise of the question, should I burn my last trade for the simple fact of getting a rookie off field. Ideally, we did this 6 weeks ago. You know what I mean? You're in this position with a rookie on field because of situations that were either in your control and you mishandled your trades, or they were out of your control and you had to trade accordingly. That's not to say that you should make a last ditch effort to try and finish your side. Right now, that last trade is worth more to your team than going from a Waitman averaging 50s, probably got no cash in the bank. Waitman's not going to get you up to anyone that's suddenly going to guarantee you 100 average. We just talked about the forward line prices. We don't really want to pick anyone under 400K. And with Waitman priced only, I think, barely above 300,000, you've got to have a considerable amount of money in your bank to be able to get
to someone that's
reputable.
We don't want anyone
below
460K, by the way. Even at that point, we're struggling.
Yeah, look, if you've got 200K in the bank and you can upgrade him, by all means. But I think it comes down to two factors. What's your DPP flexibility? Can you keep Bramble on field and upgrade? Maybe you've got a dodgy rookie. Maybe you've got two rookies on field, in which case that might be something to look at. I think that last trade is worth more to you than upgrading a 50 to a 75, which is what you might trade it to. Over the course of the last month, you'll accumulate 100 points, which, give or take, depending on how you value it, might be worth a trade. We say, you know, 150K or 150 points or whatever numbers Pistols comes up with. I trust him with the math. The problem is also that, yes, you might make 100 points by getting up to a 75 average from Waitman for whatever. But what happens if you get an injury? Suddenly you're losing 100 points in, points a week. This is multifactorial. I think the value of a trade is still too high to just be burning it on upgrading someone that is playing. You know what I mean? If you've got rookies on the bench, you could be loopholing these guys every week and getting the higher score. So there's certainly not too many negatives. I do want to throw a situation that's probably not one you've asked for, JB. But something that I'm considering, I don't have ruck cover and I have mediocre forward cover. I was toying up with the idea that if I have no injuries with two rounds to go, would it be worth trading someone like Bramble, who would be now at 400K, to some sort of DPP flexibility that you don't have? And he's my M9, by the way. He's my bench cover. Is there some sort of scenario where I could trade him to a ruck forward using DPP and just kind of have a really cheap, mediocre ruck that is covering multiple lines that, you know, currently don't have cover? Because my fear is that, you know, Darcy will get rested this week or the week after or something, for example, and I burn that final trade. I've still got no ruck cover. I've still got no forward cover. And obviously, my rank is... could completely fall off the cliff if I don't sort something out. I realize that's a really complicated and nuanced question. I just want to know kind of what your thoughts are about that scenario.
All right, so a couple of things. First of all, I'm glad you leaned into this because this was my next line of questioning, which is great. Secondly, you're answering it in regards to the bad F6 or M8 in quotation marks, because they're not actually that bad. 100% agree. You're probably trading up for a minimal point gain over the next 4 weeks, whereas if you get an injury in your defense, for example, and can't cover it sufficiently, or you get a further injury in your forward line and can't cover it sufficiently, you're losing much more than that 100 potential points that you gain over the next 4 weeks. So absolutely hold that trade, get rid of the cure your itchy finger somehow, put some ointment on it, I don't know. But in regards to your situation regarding cover, I assume this is your last trade that you're contemplating using?
Yeah, so let me paint the scene. I've got Bianco at D7 and I've got Sharp at D8, which allows me to switch Sam Durham between my defense and midfield for cover. I've got Bramble on the mid-bench, but then in my rucks I've got no cover, and in my forward line I've got McRae, who... it was okay for 50 on the weekend. I was actually really impressed with him on the weekend. And he, I don't know if we can really depend on him. And Briggs, who should get a game because Mummy looked proper cooked on the weekend, and they probably want to rest him. But it may not be the week that I need them. So I wouldn't necessarily say I've got cover like I do with Bramble, Durham and Bianco in the midfield and defense line. And so what I'm thinking of is, because I've got Durham and Bianco to cover both midfield and defense, I don't necessarily need Bramble just burning cash away on my bench when my midfield is not going too bad. And I'm thinking about using DPP to turn him into a ruck forward option.
Okay, this is easy.
Yeah.
This is easy. All right. If you need Bramble to a ruck forward option to cover an injury or a resting, then do it. But don't do it now. Yeah. Do it when you actually need it.
Yeah.
Because something might happen somewhere else in your field. Bianco is dropped, Durham is dropped, and you've got a defensive injury now. Unlikely situation, but it could absolutely happen. And now you've used a trade on potentially covering someone who's potentially rested or injured in your forward ruck line, and it just might never happen.
Yeah.
So the whole using trades to patch up future potential issues is crazy to me, because those issues, they're not going to sneak up on you. You're going to get the team sheet. You're going to see that this guy is out or this guy is out. You're going to realize that you're in a sticky situation. That's when you want the trade. And that's when you want to use the trade. At that point, whether you assess it as, I need to trade out this premium or I need to trade in this cover for 1 week, that's you can assess that however you deem necessary. But for the time being, there are a multitude of things that could go wrong on other lines that might not affect your forward ruck situation at all, that you might have to trade out of. And if you use your trade in that situation, just anticipating something bad, it just might never come. So you've just wasted that trade fixing a potential issue that's not there. So what if, for example, you trade in a ruck forward this week, you put them on your bench, great. So you've got cover for a potential Darcy rest. You got cover for whoever you have in the forward line who's been atrocious, which is almost everyone. And Whitfield goes out with a season-ending injury. Would you rather play Bianco on field for 4 weeks, or would you rather have forward ruck cover? To me, it just seems you want to fix these leaks as they happen. I'm not sticky taping the bottom of the boat in for where I think leaks might suddenly appear. I'm sticky taping where the leak actually is. So, and I'm probably, hopefully, using something better than a sticky tape.
I was going to say, I really want to know your aqua repair skills, because I'm not sure where sticky tape's coming from.
Yeah, they're non-existent, but that actually does. It's a perfect.
If I know anything about TV, they use corks as well. They just have an infinite amount of corks. They just hammer in. I think that's a cartoon reference, but
perfect reference to my Supercoach season. I am actually using sticky tape there as well, so it explains why I'm sinking. But yes, no. Attack the problems as they arise, not anticipation.
I love that. I actually love that, because I do get a lot of questions about. Not so much questions. I get DMs with statements. This is what I'm planning on doing. Would you do it? It's like you've already made your mind up. I guess this is a scenario. Do you trade someone like Bramble to a Peter Laddams to ensure you've got cover on every line, and then potentially not need it when you come into the final round and you could have used that trade to get rid of Bolton, who's averaging 43 in the last month?
Then score 120.
Yeah.
And whoever you trade him for, score 80.
That's actually called the Matt Crouch rule, I believe, JB.
Yes. Matt, dubbed and duped myself, thank you. I've got one more scenario to quickly discuss with you.
Hit me.
And then we're going to end the podcast. So, more scenario and then captaincies. Three trades left, one premium to upgrade. Do I spend two trades to get Dangerfield, for example, or any Uber premium, two trades to get Bont, two trades to get Laird? I don't know why you don't have Laird, but do I use my two trades to get an absolute Uber, or do I just use the one trade to get a more middle range player? For example, instead of Dangerfield, I get Royal Marshall. Instead of Bontempelli, I get Jared Lyons. Do I save the extra trade, or do I go for those raw points and still have one trade in the bank for the remaining 3 or 4 weeks?
I think one trade with 3 weeks remaining is going to be enough. I would, if I get through team sheets this week and go into the final 3 weeks with one trade remaining, I'm going to be really, really happy with myself, particularly if I've got cover that only needs to come on field for potentially 1, maybe 2 weeks. You know, you're not losing a massive amount. It depends also on many factors that are team specific. So if, again, you're looking at league, you're looking at a cup format. These sorts of things are going to be weighing more on your mind when you're making this decision. Also, rank. You know, if you're highly ranked and you have the opportunity to turn someone like Josh Kelly into a Bont, you're in the top 100, something like that, I see that as a worthwhile risk because, you know, if you wait to the final round to upgrade something like that and you've got a trade in hand, you could end up like the Matt Crouch scenario where you just trade yourself out of points. So I think if you've got enough cover that I would, and you've got a reason to do it, I wouldn't be doing it just for fun. You know, like you've locked up a top four spot in your...
No, this is potentially a last upgrade, for example.
Last upgrade.
You're in a situation where you've got Bramble or Waitman on field, but instead of having only one trade, you've got three trades.
Yeah, I think I would. I think there's more scenarios where it's worth the risk than
yep.
Basically, agreed. If you've got no bench cover, is the only reason that I
100%
may not do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's why Chizo is ranked 18th in Supercoach. The perfect answer. I would only do this if I had any type of living bench cover whatsoever. Then I would be comfortable. Go chase those points. We're in the very end game of the season. This might be the difference between a league win or a highest ever rank, etc. The guy that you're trading in instead of the other guy is actually also potentially a captaincy shout as well,
yeah.
Which is a factor. You've got potential points coming out the wazoo. I wish I was in your scenario. I would definitely go for gold. So, perfect answer, Chizo. So,
perfect timing with the gold reference too.
Yes, perfect.
Captains.
Everything's coming up, Milhouse. Yes, captains. So, I'm taking your advice this week because I hit Sam Walsh.
Yeah, it was my VC though.
And a lot of people hit Sam Walsh. A lot of people hit Darcy Parrish. A lot of people hit Grundy into Lockie Neal, for example. It just wasn't a great week for captaincy, but be our leader, please, Chizo. Who are you looking at this week?
I do like the look of Jack Steele. I think even he didn't have an amazing game on the weekend. He didn't necessarily cop a tag, JB, but he did cop attention at stoppages from time to time. So I'm still really confident that his last 6 to 8 weeks has been really, really positive, and he's in a rich vein of form. Back at Marvel Stadium against Carlton, I see that as being a really good option. I see the Doggies against the Crows first up on Saturday in the afternoon at Mars Stadium. McRae loves Mars Stadium from memory, so him and Bont are just going to be super consistent. It would be really easy to come out and say Dangerfield against North.
I don't think it is easy. Give me a second here.
I was going to...
Bont and Pelly, the best scorer of the Supercoach season, can't turn up against this team. Sam Walsh, the most informed player, arguably, in the competition over the last fortnight prior to this week, can't turn up against North Melbourne. They do something to opposition midfielders. I know that the team is likely to win against them. That's fine. They do something to limit the... By the way, North Melbourne won this last week. I don't want to take credit away from
them. They do this thing called winning.
They're not easy beats, but they do something in the midfield, especially with Cunnington, Jai Simpkin, Taron Thomas rotates through there. They have a strong midfield, and they limit opposition midfield points despite Geelong likely getting the win this week. I don't think that guarantees danger into a big captaincy score.
Yes, that's what I was actually...
Sorry to cut you off there. I know you were going to say the same thing.
Though. Yeah, I was leaning towards Blundstone Arena, North... It just doesn't sit right with me. I just feel like one of those games that Danger's kind of hit his straps in the last few weeks. They might just kind of just let him cool down, sit on the block steaming just a little bit while the rest of the team kind of carries. I see, there's obviously no reason that he can't do a big score, but that's something that I'm just sort of sensing. In terms of kind of late options towards the back end of the round, you've got Titch or the Brisbane guys at Utah Stadium on the Sunday afternoon. Other than that, on Sunday, there's not a whole lot of genuine captaincy options. I guess you could, if you're one of those unique coaches that have Ollie Wines against the Giants, could be potential. But it's important to know that Lockie Ash actually tagged Darcy Parrish, and Darcy tried to run through the tag. There were some times where he certainly outran the game, but that second half that the Bombers just got absolutely smashed in the midfield, and they loosened up the tag a little bit because the Giants were just all over them, and they just couldn't get their hands on the ball in the midfield. I'm not particularly concerned about Shiel. I don't think his role impacted as well, but I think the Friday and Saturday games is where we need to be finding our VC and C. Obviously, Oliver against and Took play each other on Saturday as well. So I think if you've got someone like Walsh or Steele, I'd have no problem chucking the VC on either of those on the Friday night and then picking a game on the Saturday night that you really are confident in and liking the look of. And I think it's going to be really difficult not to find at least a 115, 120 from those two games. I think it's going to be difficult to find an 80 score this week.
Yep. So right now, Steele into McRae, I think, is the easiest decision I'll hopefully make all year.
Yep.
Touch wood, Steele into Bontempelli is even better if you own Bontempelli, which I do not. And then if you don't like the look of that, I still don't mind Clayton Oliver against Took, who hasn't actually been doing much of a hard tag this year. Or potentially if you wanted to get fancy, I still think Darcy Parrish against Sydney is going to be good. And then, like you said, on the Sunday, there's not a lot to look at. But Lions against Hawthorn, potentially, and Tom Mitchell against Brisbane potentially, but rather you're probably using an early vice captain.
I think that's a little bit more risky. I think there's some better options than those guys.
Yeah,
I've just gone into the Jack McRae stats. He's got two listings for Mars Stadium MS in brackets. He's had five games with an average 137, and Mars Stadium MAR in brackets, he's played one game for 189. So if they are potentially,
that's not bad.
If they are potentially the same thing, he's averaging like 145 at that ground. So,
Lastly, Gawn against absolutely no one looks okay as well. But
yeah, I'm not entirely crash
convinced
on, Gawn.
On his form. No. Yeah, neither am I. But
he's just
like a last ditch effort
sort of coasting,
if you don't
isn't he?
Love anyone on the Saturday. Yeah, he is. He really is. Same with Grundy. I think they're just both trying to fight to be affordable next year, considering Sean Darcy is going to be in 100% of teams at 900K. So
the problem is Darcy's fighting just to stand up.
I know, but he's made of rubber. He's done like three PCL injuries this year,
mate,
and he's missed two games.
If only he kicked,
it's unbelievable,
like 2-2 or 3-1 or something like that. It was a 120 Gawn begging, I thought, even with his hobbling. We've just seen that the round 20 fixture has been confirmed. It's not actually updated on the Supercoach website at time of recording.
Yep.
So let me just run through. Friday night, St Kilda and Carlton at Marvel. Saturday afternoon, we've got the Doggies and Adelaide at 12:30, North Melbourne and Geelong at 1:15, and Gold Coast and Melbourne, to be confirmed where they're playing, but it's going to be at 3:10. Collingwood and West Coast at the MCG at 4:15, and Essendon at Sydney at the Gabba at 7:40. A lot of overlapping games on the Saturday, so that's going to be really important to probably set an alarm like I do, JB, just so you don't forget. On the Sunday, we've got Hawthorn and Brisbane at UTAS at 2:10. GWS versus Port, to be confirmed a location, but at 3:10 p.m., again, overlapping with the Hawks. And starting at the exact same time, Australian Western Standard Time, so that'll be delayed for us over on the East Coast. That'll be Fremantle and Richmond at Optus, JB. So they're the fixtures, and that was also where I was coming from in terms of my captaincy options as well, because on the Supercoach website it says we've got Essendon and...
It took me a second to get into that, but I ended up following.
Yeah, Essendon and Sydney playing it on Friday at 7:50. It doesn't look like their Supercoach website has been updated just yet.
They have not, so that's fine. We're going to end the podcast there. I cannot believe that we got an hour of content out of 20 minutes of content.
I've missed you, Bay. Jay Bay.
I know. We need to sit down and chat more often. I mean, I can't really fit in the same room as your head at the moment, so that's the first conundrum, considering the higher rank that you're sitting at. But that's fine. It was good to speak to a bit of Supercoach royalty, ranked at 18th.
Shut up, come on.
One of the top 20 coaches in the world as I speak. So very, very nice sitting down with you, Chizo. Interview of my career thus far. So that's going to do us for the week. If you want to get in touch with the top 20 player in the world. It is at Chizo_DRSC. Make sure you climb into his inbox as well. He's happily answering questions all week. I am at JB_DRSC, Pistol at Pistol_DRSC, and the main at Dr_SNC. Obviously, contact our Twitters. Let us know how you enjoyed the podcast. Rate us on anything that you're listening to. We never ask that, and people never do it, so hopefully there's some correlation, people now do it, but we really appreciate you listening. We'll catch you guys next week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.